Silence and Secret, a minimalist guide to abuse in cinema. This week's installment of the series is a guide to films addressing issues related to sexual abuse. Film is not only entertainment, but a crucial tool for dissecting institutional failure. And this guide traces the origins of this tradition of exposing the problems behind abuse in the 17th century picaresque novel, originally from Spain, but with plenty of translations to English, The Life of Lazarillo de Tormes. Just like that seminal work, modern cinema continues to challenge the moral contradictions inherent in powerful institutions, particularly those claiming absolute moral authority. The core of the guide organizes this cinematic exploration into three distinct powerful categories. We'll look first at how films expose what I call the weaponization of religion, where dogma is corrupted for control. Then we go over movies dealing with the mechanisms behind systemic cover-ups, where hierarchies protect predators while attacking the victims willing to come forward. Finally, the last set of films are those dealing with how isolation helps impunity. These are movies about closed worlds, whether convents, brothels, or elite societies, able to enforce silence and shield their members from accountability. The first set of movies is centered on the weaponization of religion. This section explores how religious dogma and authority are corrupt and used as instruments of abuse and control. The films under consideration are the two versions of The Crime of Father Amaro, one from Mexico in 2002 and one from Portugal in 2005, both adaptations of the Exadecados novel depict the Catholic hierarchy as complicit in moral compromise, prioritizing power games and wealth over genuine spiritual mission. The Mexican version in particular highlights the coercion of a young female into abortion and the acceptance of cartel money by the bishops. The second film is Bad Education from Spain. Pedro Almodóvar released that movie back in 2004, centering on sexual abuse in a Catholic boys' school in 1960s Spain. It exposes systemic corruption and the church's attempts to silence victims through money, offering them money or threatening them with consequences if they are willing to come forward. The third movie in this section is a 2008 production in the United States, Doubt, set in a Bronx, fictional Bronx Catholic school in New York City. The film examines the culture of silence and suspicion that almost always enabled abuse, but that in this particular story could have prevented it. It focuses on the fraught dynamics between a nun and a priest. And the story is relevant because as bad as the nun portrayed in this movie by Meryl Streep is, she's racist, to say it in just one word, she is also probably, and that's what is relevant of this movie, probably she is trying to prevent the grooming of a kid by the priest. No, that is why this movie is so interesting for me, and I recommended it a lot, because it forces one to wonder what were the true motives behind the headmistress of the school to do what she ultimately did to the young priest. The next movie in this category is Perfect Obedience. It is a Mexican production from 2014. It is loosely based on the Legion of Christ scandal and how Marcial Maciel built this order of sorts in the Catholic Church here in Mexico. The film portrays abuse as the result of a system demanding total obedience, or perfect obedience, as the title tells it from the very get-go, undermining the very ideals of spiritual perfection. No? The next movie in this category is a Chilean production from 2015, titled The Club. It was inspired by the case, the scandal brought by Fernando Caradima, the Chilean Marcial Maciel. It's a film depicting the church's practice of hiding disgraced priests in secret locations. No, sometimes there are houses, sometimes there are some sections of convents. But the overall idea is to shield them from accountability and justice. And in doing so, instead of prompting the kind of debate that one sees nowadays in France, or that one saw back in the late 90s and the knots of this century in the United States, well, what happens is nothing, no? Because there is no acknowledgement of what is really happening. The last movie in this category is Clergy, a Polish production from 2018. This film exposes financial corruption, careerism, and systemic moral decay among Polish Catholic clergy, highlighting issues such as alcoholism and sexual abuse, and the tendency to cover up rather than to confront wrongdoing or abuse or alcoholism or whatever is happening in any given parish or diocese. The second category in this piece is a set of movies, both creative and documentary, focusing on the mechanisms used by religious hierarchies to dismiss concerns, protect members, and avoid overall accountability. The first entry is an Irish production from 2002, The Magdalene Sisters. It is a well-known story in the English-speaking world. It's a fact-based account of what was happening at the Magdalene laundries, where Catholic nuns imprisoned or abused, or in some cases allowed the abuse of young female because allegedly they were delinquents, they were criminals, they were unable to behave as ladies. Also, the punishment was to send them into these Magdalene laundries. The movie was part of a broader debate in Ireland and the English-speaking world about this kind of practices in the Catholic Church. The next movie is production from 2006, Deliver Us from Evil. It is a documentary about priest Oliver O'Grady, whose abuse was enabled by bishops in California, at least two dioceses there in California, Stockton and LA, and they did through reassignments when it was impossible to send him any other place in Stockton. They moved him, this priest, to LA. So he continued there in Los Angeles what he was doing in Stockton. The film is relevant also because it's almost the same story as one story from Mexico involving the now Emeritus Archbishop of Mexico City when he decided to send a Mexican priest there to LA because, well, he was abusing here in Mexico. So Norberto Rivera Carrera sends this priest to LA, and of course he was going to do the exact same thing up there in California. The third entry in this category is another documentary, Mia Maxima Culpa, Silence in the House of God. It was released back in 2012. It is a documentary tracing the abuse of deaf kids in Wisconsin and the subsequent cover-up implicating bishops and cardinals going all the way up to future Pope Benedict XVI when he was the prefect of the then congregation, now the dicastery for the doctrine of the faith. And as with the previous movie, there is a parallelism with a Latin American case, in this case from Argentina. In Argentina, there was this case in the Provolo Institute, pretty much the same situation, deaf kids. Only difference is that instead of one individual in Argentina, it was four priests, the gardener of the school, and a nun. No, so it's shocking, you know, how these cases are so similar in countries that are so different, you know, with such differences in their cultures, their institutional designs, their laws, and yet pretty much the same cases, you know, depicted in both Deliver Us from Evil and Silence in the House of God. The fourth movie in this category is perhaps the most famous of them all. I'm not going to oversell this because, especially in the English-speaking world, it is a very famous movie, Spotlight, from 2015, about how the Boston Globe was able to crack the knot of clergy sexual abuse in Boston. The kind of theirs that the Boston Globe had to go through to actually publish the information about what was happening there in Boston and all over Massachusetts. The next movie is a French entry. In English, it is known as By the Grace of God. It's from 2018 and follows three survivors of priest Bernard Preyna, detailing the church's failure to remove him despite decades of abuse. The survivors' efforts contribute also to Cardinal Barbarin's, the then Archbishop of Lyon, early resignation from that diocese. All the data is there in the story. If you want more details, you can find them there. The next entry in this category is not actually a movie, but it is a miniseries from Spain, released in 2019. In English, it is known as Examination of Conscience, Examine the Conciencia. It is a series, a documentary series about abuse in the Marist Brothers schools in Spain. But again, there are similar cases in Mexico, in Chile, and in many other countries where this order operates. It is very interesting to pay attention to this movie because, to this documentary series, because it emphasizes how the role of Spaniard law, no? How the very restrictive rules regarding the statute of limitations end up helping the predators and not the victim. So it is well worth trying to find it if you are interested in knowing what has happened in Spain and why apparently there are too few cases there. And the reason is because survivors have a real hard time trying to come forward there in Spain. The last entry in this category is a Canadian film, Prey, from 2019. It documents a survivor's lawsuit against the Basilian Fathers in Ontario, in Canada. It exposes their ability to manipulate the Canadian legal system to shield predator priests and minimize the scale of abuse and, of course, compensations to keep the secret as secret as possible. The third and last section of this week's installment, movies examining closed environments, convents, hotels, brothels, elite societies, no, marginalized places, as places fostering codes of silence and granting immunity from external accountability. The piece notes that the evolution of scientific change in Europe enabled filmmakers to tackle previously taboo subjects, including sexual abuse. You know, one of the entries in this category is not actually one single movie, but an entire subgenre of genre, however you want to call it. It is the non-exploitation subgenre, no? With films like Mother Joan of the Angels, a Polish production from 1961, and The Devils, a British production from 1971. They explore sexual and institutional conflicts in convents, reflecting historical events. And the genre is seen as a precursor to modern denunciations of abuse against nuns in the Catholic Church. If you go over the piece, the full piece, the written piece, you can get there the actual reasons why I say so. The next entry in this category is a classic of the 1970s, Taxi Driver. I don't think I need to say too much about it. I will only say that while not centered on sexual abuse, the film's depiction of child prostitution and the societal complicity with child prostitution offer a metaphor for institutional failure and the media's tendency to offer, or to provide oversimplified narratives that seem to provide some relief, but ultimately leave the whole situation unchanged, no? And potentially with more risk of what will happen later. Another classic from the 1970s, probably not as famous as Taxi Driver, but it was a shocking movie back in the 1970s, is Pretty Baby. No, it focuses on the sexual exploitation of a 12-year-old girl in a brothel, high class, an upper class brothel in New Orleans. It highlights the social complicity and normalization of abuse in closed worlds. No? What money buys in the brothel, the impunity of those who abuse of, in this case, a 12-year-old girl. No, religious institutions provide through other means. In any case, what Pretty Baby reveals is relevant also to understand what happens not only in religious institutions, but in colleges, sports leagues, sports teams. So it is a very interesting watch, this movie from 1978. The next entry in this category is another classic, this one from the 1980s, The Shining, Stanley Kubrick's masterpiece, using the Overlook Hotel as a metaphor for institutions that perpetuate cycles of violence through isolation and secrecy, with subtle, very well-crafted references to abuse. No, I will be able to talk for hours about The Shining. I will not do it because, well, this is only a summary. But there are other references in the written piece at our site in Los Angeles Press. Another movie, also from the 1980s, kind of forgotten by now. It was a very good movie at its time, back in 1985, Agnes of God, with Jane Fonda in one of the main characters of the movie. It explores the lengths to which religious leaders, and institutions go to conceal secrets, preferring miraculous explanations over confronting uncomfortable truths. The movie is great, how it goes over the issue of secrets and how religious institutions cling to secret as their preferred explanation for pretty much any issue they confront. Finally, as far as this category is concerned, well, another classic, another movie from Kubrick. This one, his last, Eyes Wide Shut from 1999. I don't think I need to go over the plot or the details. I think it is enough to say that it examines elite immunity and secrecy, showing how wealth and social isolation enable abuse without accountability. Go for hours about this movie, but no need to do so. Well, the piece ends with an acknowledgement that there are many other films and series addressing abuse, sometimes even in unexpected genres like comedy. You can find there one of such comedies dealing with this issue and how that movie deals with it. It warns that abuse is not limited to religious settings and that its persistence across diverse cultures and legal systems indicates the absence of easy solutions to this issue. While these films may not bring joy, they offer valuable insights into the mechanisms of abuse and the importance of understanding how abuse is perpetuated, and perhaps about what we need to do to prevent abuse. Well, thank you very much. I hope you keep reading us. You know where you can find me as Rodolfo Soriano Núñez in Twitter, Facebook, and Blue Sky, RSNUNEC. You can find me there. Or my email is at the Los Angeles Press page, where all my contributions are listed. Thank you very much.